the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Thank you again so much for the support of Health Masters. Wanted to give everybody a first heads up on it. You guys voted. It won the joint rebuilding formula, probably one of the most popular and effective joint rebuilding and actually joint formulas we've ever come out with. One product of the week, so I went ahead and did a huge sale on it for you guys. We have 20% off on a super sale for product of the week for 1 week only on the joint rebuilding formula. I take it, Dad takes it. I've had a lot of people take this product and get really, really, really good results from it, but I wanted to give you guys a heads up on it as it's on sale now at healthmasters.com. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's been a long day for me. I had a bunch of stuff I had this morning, so I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. And I didn't say I got out of bed at 4:30, but I crawled out of bed around 5:30. So it's been a very interesting day for me so far. I've got a lot of stuff done, and I've been dealing with a lot of challenges that I'm having to put little fires out. This is what happens when you decide to go sit around in an RV in North Carolina for months on end. When you come back down here, you got to deal with a bunch of stuff. By the way, something bizarre here. You know, Baphomet is their big sign as far as the satanic group that, you know, worships Lucifer. And Avon has just put a giant Baphomet goat head and with a girl like wrapped around it, holding on to its ears on their latest catalog. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Was the beauty supply catalog basically putting their arms around the satanic Baphomet figure? I mean, it's kind of weird. Now, I'm not saying that they're Satanists. I'm not going to do that. I said it's just very, very weird that so many people are involved with all of this Illuminati Luciferian symbolism right now. And, you know, Avon is kind of like an American icon. It's been around for over 100 years, probably close to 200 years. And it's one of the largest cosmetic companies in the world. And to me, it just seems a little bit odd to me that they would be doing this unless it's being done on purpose. You got to remember, guys, maybe it's being done on purpose. Who knows? I mean, look at WeWork right now. WeWork's had a giant fiasco. It went public, and it collapsed. I mean, WeWork IPO fiasco of 2019 explained in 30 seconds. WeWork has been in turmoil since it filed its public offering and paperwork in August. In 1 month, the co-working company cut its valuation down to as low as $10 billion from $47 billion, removed Adam Neumann as CEO, and delayed its initial public offering indefinitely. But here's something they were doing, and I'm tying this into the Baphomet story. They were having Kabbalah classes here. They were teaching Kabbalah. I mean, they were actually having like meetings about Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, you know, kind of like the worship of ancient fallen aliens, you know, fallen angels. And the Kabbalah is much more than that, guys. When I say that, this thing gets really, really weird. And, you know, and then didn't you see the picture of Rudy Giuliani? I put it on the website the other day, talking to another guy from Italy or over in Europe. And he basically sitting there, and he's got a red Kabbalah string around his wrist. Rudy Giuliani's quest for dirt on Biden via Ukraine, a timeline. And there's a picture of Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and having coffee with Ukrainian-American businessman Lev Parnas at the Trump International Hotel in Washington on Friday. And I posted this on the website, and it sure appears he's wearing a red string around his wrist. It looks like it's underneath his Rolex watch. I'm like, what the heck? So, guys, you got to realize there's a lot of stuff that's really weird. I mean, remember, Ivanka Trump is into a Kabbalah. You know, Jared Trump, her husband, Jared, is basically into Kabbalah. And it's part of what they do with Shabbat. And so it seems strange to me, Austin, that all of these guys are involved in Kabbalah, a lot of them wearing red strings around their wrists like Madonna does. And now we've got a Baphomet goat head on the Avon catalog. Things seem like there are really a lot of symbolism being used on a regular basis all over the world, bud. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's one of those things now we're seeing that so many companies now are getting involved in this very, very weird stuff. And in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, is that a lot of these companies are owned by globalists that have been trying to promote this agenda. And so what they're doing is they're trying to slowly desensitize the American population to this stuff. They're trying to desensitize us from seeing it on a regular basis, seeing it in statues, seeing it in buildings. I mean, this isn't new. They've been doing this now, and it's becoming more and more and more blatant in our face to the point that everybody's starting to notice it. And so what they're going to do is they're going to see how the population responds to it. There's a lot of negative pushback with this whole thing that Avon did. They're going to kind of back off from it some, and then they're going to slowly start pushing it again. And this is how they continually push the envelope. This is what they did starting with the sitcoms with gay comments and gay characters in the 90s. Then they rolled it into basically overtly homosexual behavior. Then they wrote it into gay marriage. Then they rolled it into transgender. Then they rolled it into pedophilia with transgender. And now there's no limit anymore now. The point now, if you say anything about somebody or you call them by their wrong pronoun, they can basically sue you and in some cases get you charged criminally with this. This is the level that they're doing, and this is what they're trying to promote. So weird stuff. Also, too, in other news, I wanted to bring this up because a lot of people have been sending me emails asking about the market. The gold market's gone up and it's gone down a little bit, and it's all around, and everything's very volatile. The stock market's not really doing a whole lot. Kind of goes up a little bit, kind of flattens out. But what nobody is really talking about is what the Fed has still been doing. They're still, not quantitative easing promotion. This isn't quantitative easing, but we're going to keep doing this. They've now been announced that they accepted $104 billion in collateral as part of today's overnight and term repo operations. Remember, they were keeping it around $75 billion in these repo loans, these overnight repo loans they were doing. Now, as of today, it's moved up to $104.2 billion. We've talked about it in detail, so I'm not going to go into all the rigmarole of these repo loans, but understand that if they're injecting this much money to try to maintain the illusion of liquidity, and it's pixie dust is what they're doing. They're trying to keep the markets propped up for as long as they can, but if they're injecting this level of money and the markets still aren't absolutely going nuts and rallying, that means this money is being diverted in other areas. And this is something that I brought up a couple weeks ago, is that the Fed has refused to tell us what banks are getting this money. They have not told Congress, and remember, they did this after 2008 when they started dumping billions and billions of dollars, and then we found out later on that a lot of it went to Deutsche Bank, went to banks in Europe. This money that essentially is floating all around is being used to keep the market afloat, to give us the appearance that we have this really, really good stock market right now. And this is what you have to understand, is if they're doing it to this level, once they stop this and once they pull the cork on that sink and that drain starts going down and going down and going down, it's literally going to look like a draining bathtub and the whole market's going to have a giant sucking sound. So be aware of this if you're in the market still, if you're doing stuff, whatever it may be. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm giving you my opinion on what's going on. But be aware of it, because once this starts too, and this is why I've always been a big proponent of basically brass, ammo, gold, and guns, because once you start having hard assets like guns or ammo or vitamins or supplements or gold or silver, whatever it may be, you have a true asset in your hand. When you start playing with these markets right now and you start having huge amounts of money tied up in them, there's a high probability when this thing goes, it's going to be another 2008 all over again and probably worse. So be aware of that as far as with 401ks, with investment accounts, with all this stuff, and just understand what's happening right now and the fact that the Fed's now injecting $104 billion as of today in overnight repo loans. And what's ironic about this, Dad, is that if anybody else started playing this type of hanky-panky with this level of money in the market, they would immediately be indicted and arrested. They'd have so many different charges from insider trading, everything.
Collusion,
it doesn't matter,
man.
Because it's the Fed, right? Collusion. I mean, you probably have Rico statute get involved. I mean, all this stuff. But it doesn't matter, because the Fed does this. They don't even have to tell anybody where the money's going, and it's completely and totally A-okay, thumbs up, do whatever you want with it. This is what people need to understand. It's the bankers, again, as they have done in every single country they have taken over.
It's always the same people.
Yeah, always. They rape and pillage the country. They extract every single dollar and penny and cent they can pull out of that country.
Right.
And then when they've had enough of it, they push the restart button, drain everything, suck everything back out, and start back over. And they are always at the top. And this is what we have to continually expose and show everybody. These are the real culprits at the top of the satanic totem pole that are running the country, that own the markets, and that own the money. And until we out them of the Fed and the United States, we're going to keep having the same thing over and over again. And it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, how do you get rid of something that's been there for 100 years, over 100 years? And that's what I commended Ron Paul for. Is that, I mean, Ron Paul was adamant. That's one thing he was so vocal about. Audit the Fed, kick the Fed out, basically nationalize the debt, and stop playing this hanky-panky with the Federal Reserve. And, of course, that's why the mainstream media would never, ever give him any type of coverage, even in the debate, when he had a huge following in the United States then, back in 2006 to 2008.
Well, the Fed owns the TV stations.
Yeah, they don't like that.
The bankers own it all. I mean, that's the problem. It's, like I said in our show, we're like the only people to talk about this. You know, there's only. In fact, I was just talking to Sheila Zielinski just a few minutes ago, and she said, "Well, I'm not going to say what she said. It was kind of a little crude, but it was true. That you know, there are only a few of us out there that have the guts. She didn't use guts to basically." Talk about what's really going on with the rebuilding of the Third Temple, because this is not politically correct. And I want you guys to know, when we start talking about this stuff, we take heat on this. And we've had a lot of people just say, you know, we're Zionists and you can't say that. And I'm like, well, if you find something that I said that was incorrect, like yesterday we did a big retraction about that law in Florida with the doggone immunizations. If we see something that we're wrong on, just tell us what we're wrong on, show us in the Bible, show us what they're not doing if we say they are doing it, and we'll correct it. The problem is no one ever does that. They just get all pissy pants, excuse my language, about what in the world I said or what Austin said, when all we're doing is telling you history and the truth. You know, and I can't help that. I can't make anybody happy with the news. That's the real news. I can't make anybody happy that, you know, we have a bunch of Christians now that are trying to rebuild the Third Temple to start sacrifices again to bring in the Antichrist. To their own demise, because they all think they're going to get raptured, go up in the first load, sit up in the heavenly grandstands, and applaud all of us going through hell if we're left down here. I mean, this is what they want to do. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And then none of it makes any sense. But this is what they've been taught through the Scofield Bible. And it took over 100 years, 150 years, to push this horrible message through the Christian churches. And now it's basically steeped in the churches, and nobody wants to hear anything different. The problem is, Austin, either you have ears to hear and eyes to see, or you don't. I used to be a Zionist back in the 80s. I was, because that's what I'd been taught. I was a Zionist. I was a hardcore Zionist. I mean, I would go to these little things that they would have, the Jewish celebrations and the Jewish this and the Jew of that, and the Jewish this and the Jewish that. And I would go there. And I had a lot of my little friends. A lot of my friends were wearing little hats on their head. And I'm like, why are you guys doing that? We're celebrating Jewish holidays. And I'm like, we're not Jewish. And I've always had a question in the back of my mind. But I was a Zionist. I was a big promoter of Israel. Because I didn't know any better. It wasn't that I was stupid. I was just ignorant. I was ignorant of the Scofield Bible. I was ignorant of what Samuel Untermeyer did. I was ignorant of Cyrus Scofield. I was ignorant of all of the people that were involved in pushing this agenda. I was ignorant of all of it. And see, once you start digging in and you start realizing that these things are not what you thought they were, then it's up to you to make a choice. Am I going to stay with what I was taught that was incorrect? Or am I going to continue to learn and realize and find out what really happened? And I chose the latter. I chose, you know, after 9/11, I didn't want to be involved with all this. I basically ignored all what happened with 9/11. I saw the final report. I thought, whatever. I saw the big thing on PBS, and it showed how the beams all, the floor joists all sort of sagged, and they broke, and there was a pancake collapse of the thing. And, you know, and I basically just said, okay, if that's what happened, that's what happened. I wouldn't think of that as some nefarious reason that these buildings came down. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the center core? The center core was set up to stand by itself. Why did the center core come down? All that steel and all that concrete, why did the center core come down? And then I watched a little video called 9/11 Mysteries. You guys can watch that. It's free online, 9/11 Mysteries. And then I watched Loose Change. And I like 9/11 Mysteries. I like the woman's voice doing the narrating. And secondly, they don't really accuse anybody in 9/11 Mysteries. They just kind of talk about questions like, you know, why did this happen? And why did this happen? And why did this happen? Why has this never happened before? How can these buildings come down at free fall speed? How can Building 7 come down at free fall speed and won't even hit by a plane? How did this happen? And so they're not making any accusations, but they're making you think. And so I watched that thing. I said, oh, gosh, not again. And I was thinking about all these crazy lies that we've already heard from the medical stuff. You know, how vaccines were pushed and how immunizations were pushed and fluoride was pushed, which I was aware of all of that because I've been talking about that for 40 years. And finally I realized, hey, you know what? There's something else going on. And then I started doing more and more research and ended up culminating in me doing the starting the show with Austin 6 years ago or 5 years ago, whenever it was. And I don't even remember anymore. And so I began to realize that there were things that we had to do as individuals, as Christians, as Americans, as patriots, to tell people the truth. And the craziest thing is, you know, a lot of people won't do it until they have a massive reaction with a child through vaccines. And then they have a child that's hospitalized and goes into an encephalitic scream. Suddenly, they wake up. They're going, what the heck? What the heck? You know, this is true. All these things I've read about how bad these things are, this is true. This isn't a lie. It's true. And let me ask you another question, guys. When you watch that movie, 9/11 Mysteries, if you go and why won't you guys watch it now? Or Loose Change. And they have literally dozens, if not hundreds, of eyewitnesses that they have testimony from that are telling you they heard multiple explosions in 9/11. I mean, what happened to all the gold that was in the basement of the World Trade Center? You guys were to ask about that? And all of a sudden they found a dump truck down there that was full of gold. They were hauling it all off in the middle of all the chaos before the buildings came down. They had X amount of time. I mean, there's some weird stuff that happened with 9/11 with the disappearing of all that those metric tons of gold. And all of a sudden, you get hundreds of people that are basically telling you. I mean, we're talking police officers, fire department officials, eyewitnesses that are going against the mainstream narrative who were there. And you're like, is everybody lying? We have all of these witnesses. Are they all lying and saying there were multiple explosions? Then you got to ask yourself a question: why did Building 7 come down? And why did Silverstein say we're going to pull it, pull the building? Okay. That's a term used in demolition as far as bringing a building down. Well, how in the world did you put charges in a building in 7 hours in a huge skyscraper like that? It takes weeks to do that, to set the charges properly. All of a sudden, they set the charge that they're going to pull the building and pull the building down. Says all that, and now that article just came back, that research that just came back out of Alaska a few months ago, saying that Building 7 was brought down by demolition, and it didn't just fall down in its own footprint because they had a fire in one of the rooms. I mean, it's whole thing's stupid, and they want us to believe all of this stuff, and the vast majority of the Americans kind of shrugged their shoulders. I mean, think about this. We've got transvestites going into high schools and going into kindergartens and going into public libraries now and having transgender story hour, you know, and they're reading to little children, and the American population just shrugs their shoulders and say, oh well, who cares? I mean, are you guys Eeyore? Okay, whatever. I mean, no, we're not Eeyore. Gosh, Eeyores don't listen to this show. I mean, God, it's ridiculous, but that's how they act. And it's like, well, what is to be is to be. It won't matter. We're going to get raptured. We get to go out on the first load. Eeyore, Eeyore. And you're like, what the heck's wrong with you people? Wake up! And yet they don't want to wake up. But sometimes they wake up because something bad happens to them. Somebody's diagnosed with cancer. They see what happens with chemotherapy, etc. And to go back to what you were talking about earlier, Austin, you know, two investment banks eligible for today's Fed loans got over $2 trillion from the New York Fed in the last crisis. $2 trillion. Wall Street's megabanks report earnings today, capping the craziest banking year in U.S. history. And what's crazy about this is an article by Pam Martins. It says new articles on the Fed's secret trillions in loans to Wall Street during the last crisis have been purged from Bloomberg News. They've purged this information on the loans. It says Mark Pittman was the Bloomberg News reporter responsible for the Bloomberg lawsuit against the Federal Reserve seeking the names of the banks and their share of the trillions of dollars that the Fed was secretly funding to them during the financial crisis, which Bernanke told us was none of his business and he didn't remember. Pittman had already shared in a Gerald Leib Award for Bloomberg's five-part series, Wall Street Faustian Bargain, and many felt he was the lock for a Pulitzer. But 1 week before the Federal Reserve's chairman, Ben Bernanke, was to sit for a Senate confirmation hearing on his appointment to another term of Fed chairman, Pittman died. There you go. There you go. Died of a heart attack age 52. It's back in November 2009. Yeah, we already know the CIA has heart attack weapons. Am I saying that Mark Pittman was killed? No, I'm not saying that. I just made a comment. Seems strange, though. At the time of Pittman's death, the Fed was still refusing to release the details of its secret loans, despite losing its court battle to the federal district court. The appellate court decision against the Fed would not come until March 19, 2010, 4 months after Pittman's death. Even then, the Fed refused to release the data. First, it asked for a rehearing by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. When that was rejected, a Wall Street consortium of banks that were the recipients of the trillions of dollars in secret loans appealed the case to the United States Supreme Court. The appeal failed as well, and the Fed was forced to release its data in 2011 when all of its bailout programs were tallied. Listen to this. The tab they gave out was $29 trillion. $29 trillion to these banks. All transacted without involvement or awareness of anyone elected to office by the American people. Congress continued to remain in the dark throughout this entire period as trillions of dollars were sluiced into Wall Street, foreign banks, insolvent banks, even hedge funds that were shorting. I mean, guys, they're doing the same thing again. Now the Fed has turned on its unaccountable money spigot again to Wall Street once again, and it's attempting to pass off as part of the normal open market operations, keeping Congress and American people in the dark. To date, the Fed has refused to name which Wall Street firms are taking the hundreds of billions of dollars in revolving loans and how much each is receiving. They're doing it again. We thought it would be helpful to our readers to see similarities between what the Fed is now doing and what it was doing when Mark Pittman tried to follow its trial of secrecy. To our shock and dismay, many of Pittman's articles that we found reference to in academic journals about the Fed have been purged from Bloomberg News. Guys, it never ends. It's always the same group. The same group. So I put this entire article on the Health Masters news site. You can look at it today. You know, and here's the update. A spokesperson for Bloomberg News informs us that all of Mark Pittman's articles appear on the Bloomberg terminal and none have ever been removed. The terminals are available under a very pricey lease agreement. Now you got to pay to see them. As for what happened in not finding the article headlines in Google search at the Bloomberg News website, the spokesperson suggests that the hard paywall that Bloomberg News now has for its articles more than a year old may be responsible for some of these indexing issues. Guys, you know, I don't know what to say except for what I just read. $29 trillion of U.S. dollars put out without one bit of oversight from Congress or not one of we the people. And here's what these clowns did. They went out with that last housing boom and they took any loan from anybody at any point. And they had a bunch of really toxic assets on all of their balance sheets, apparently to the tune of around $29 trillion. And they got literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in salary from all of this money being sloshed around throughout the world in bonuses. This is what happened, guys. Some of these guys were getting individually billions of dollars of bonuses per year. And they were basically signing up, writing, and they didn't care because they knew the government of the United States was being controlled by the Federal Reserve through the New York Fed, through the Treasury, through the Exchange Stability Fund, and they could come right in and pick up this $29 trillion. The irony is this. What happened to the $29 trillion? Why doesn't it show as part of our national debt? Where is it on the balance sheets? Was it just printed in digital currency and pushed around? Were the dollars actually printed? Where did it go? No one wants to talk about it. Bernanke wouldn't talk about it. Said basically it was out of his business. He didn't remember. Unbelievable. And this is the group that guys follow the money. That's it. This is the same group that, as far as I'm concerned, is the nefarious group that's done all of the stuff through all of the ages. It's this international banking cartel cadre of organized crime is what it is. They're the ones that are laundering the money. We see it over and over again for the Afghan heroin. We see it happening all over the world with this group of people over and over and over again. And the very hierarchy of many of these financial institutions, according to the one man who came forward a few years ago, is black magic. And I talk about this over and over and over again, how the CIA is controlled via black magic through these Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferians who control the money supply, and they want to tie us into a D-Wave computer. All of this stuff is happening all the time around us. But we got to focus on the Washington, D.C. reality show and Donald Trump's tweets and Cortez, the world girl who signed up and went to an audition to become a congresswoman to read the scripts. Guys, all of the guys at the high levels are scripted. Period. They're told what to say. They're told what to do. And as soon as they come off of script, they don't get reelected. That's just how it works. They're going to do what they're told. They got a choke chain around their neck. If they want to get reelected, they listen. If they don't, that thing gets snatched tight, and they're gone. Just as quick as they showed up, they go away into obscurity, never to be heard from again. Why? Because whoever controls the microphone, which is the Fed, who owns the banks, who owns the media, they control what information is released to you and me. And the sad part about it is, and I talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, just like with these articles disappearing off of Bloomberg now, except for prescription only, paid prescription. The sad part about all of this is the internet is being vacuumed. Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of things are being taken off the internet on a regular basis because they don't want us to have the knowledge. They don't want us to have the information. It's like with Maxwell field equations. The last set of field equations he did that dealt with interdimensional time and basically vortices and scalar waves, and they pulled it out of the public domain. They did that a long, long time ago because they didn't want you to have it, because they didn't want you to know that we were an interdimensional entity. I mean, guys, it's so interesting to me to watch this happen on a regular basis. And, guys, that's why I want to thank you again for supporting Health Masters, for allowing us to come out and do a show with you guys, and you guys get our supplements, and you take care of us, and you support us. Guys, I realize that I'm a hardcore Christian, and I'm going to stay that way. And a lot of people get mad about that, and I don't really care. Because, guys, here's the thing. Eternal life begins when you accept Jesus Christ. I talked about this yesterday, and thank you for all the positive feedback I had on yesterday's show. Eternal life starts as soon as you accept Christ. And, you know, we're just passing through here. We're just passing through. So don't get yourself in a knot about any of this stuff. Just realize, like Austin said, brass, guns, bullets, food, water. Keep your assets clean. Keep your gun cleaner, okay? Keep your bullets, you know, ready to go. Keep your powder dry. And realize that we're just going to be going through this thing pretty quick, and then we'll be gone. And we don't have to deal with these clowns and their stupid clown show in Washington, D.C. So, guys, remember, keep your heart and your faith in Christ Jesus. But hold these guys accountable. And remember, if people aren't talking about Jesus, there's a reason. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely, bud. I mean, and now we see over in California now that a lot of the power outages have now been restored after that whole debacle from PG&E. But now, listen to this. Now they're saying out, this came out with a new headline yesterday. PG&E says power outages aren't going away, leaving California businesses to confront an uncertain future. And what it goes on to say here, it says the power outages that afflicted much of Northern California are largely over. They're now basically, all the stores are starting to get everything back up this week. They started a couple days ago. They said last week's outages left gnawing uncertainty about when and how often it could happen in the future. Now, and then it goes on to say, it says, if anything, the outage served as kind of a dress rehearsal for an event that could grow more frequent in the coming years, disrupting businesses with lost revenue and increased preparation costs each time utility shuts off power. PG&E has now warned that these outages could become, and I quote, the new normal. And if that's the case, normal could mean trouble for businesses ahead. This is what happens when you start having a third world country start, the aspects of a third world country. My wife, Lana, she used to be a missionary with her parents when she was a child down to Ecuador. It's not abnormal at all to have rolling blackouts and rolling brownouts in those countries on a regular basis. They know, oh, power's going to shut off here for the day. Power's going to shut off for another 12 hours. They're used to it. This is what they're doing here, and they're using this and saying, oh, well, it's the wildfires. And to some aspect, I understand the when you start having these huge fires light up and you have power lines and everything else. But on the other aspect of it, too, is now we're saying that this is going to be the new normal, that you need to expect at any point in time we may shut the power off with little to no notice, and you need to be okay with it. Again, like I said last week, if you live out in California and they're doing this to you, you need to be protesting with everybody you know about where's my tax dollars going? Why am I still paying an overbloated electric bill, which are insanely expensive in California? Why am I not getting a refund on my property taxes? Why am I not getting a refund on my state income tax that I'm paying in? If we're going to live like a third world country, why are you going to pay first world taxes on everything? This is a concept that people have grown so normal to, is that we just pay more taxes, pay more taxes, pay more taxes. I mean, here in Auburndale now, the property taxes are going through the roof. The impact fees they're generating here are insane. They've allowed another 500 houses to be built in this tiny little town. The developers coming in and literally raping our town that we're in now. And the city commissioners, all they're concerned about is putting new curbing in on a back road or going in and putting a butterfly farm in. Not even exaggerating, a butterfly farm, and to put it right beside a railroad track. Real, real brilliant design right there. I got to give them that. But what they have to do is they have to justify the massive amount of revenue that they're bringing in, and so they go out and do these public things. Oh, we're going to repair this. We're going to repair the curbing in an area that's not even damaged because it needs new curbing here. Okay, okay. Do we really need a $100,000 butterfly farm? Oh, we've also added, I think, another 15 law enforcement officers to the payroll in Auburndale Police Department now, which all of which I might add are driving brand new Chevy 1500 pickup trucks and brand new Dodge Chargers now. I mean, okay, that's cool. So where is this money going that they're extracting from the city? Where's all these impact fees going? The schools aren't being rebuilt. The roadways aren't being rebuilt. We still got double two-lane roads and one-lane roads around Auburndale. Kid you not. Two-lane roads and one-lane roads around Lake Stella. It's one lane. One lane. That's it. This is what happens when you start having an overbloated government or an overbloated community that starts extracting massive amounts of money from the population and they don't have any accountability, and you have these guys that are generationals in these seats. They sit there pretty much until they die, then their kids take it over, their family take over these seats on the county commissioner, the city commissioner, and this is what happens. And so I looked into a lot of stuff here locally as far as politics in the community, because I'm considering getting involved in some stuff, because the aspect of what you see here, and this is systemic across the entire country now, when you start allowing these entities to come in, whether it be commissioners, whether it be counties, whether it be states, whether it be governments, to start extracting unlimited amounts of money with zero pushback, they'll continue to take more and more and more. There's no cap on it. And to the point where they'll continue to take more money and they'll shut power out because they have to do so, to where it's the new normal now to have rolling blackouts, I guess, in Southern California. This is the problem that we have run into now. But of course, we've got to spend $2.8 trillion on 5G networks so everybody can have internet that's slightly faster. Remember, that's mandatory. You know, we have blackouts in California. This is irony. We have blackouts in California because PG&E can't maintain their finances and they're using the guise of wildfires to shut off millions of people's power. But we're going to spend over $2.5 trillion over the next couple of years to make sure 5G is enacted so everybody has internet that has a download speed originally at, what, 25 milliseconds, I think it was, for 4G, to now to 3 milliseconds. That's important. We need to make sure we do that. God forbid we don't have power. You know, that's fine. We don't need power, but we need to make sure we have our 5G internet. And remember, when they came in now, and the individuals that are running all this as far as with the FCC or whatever, and they came in and they said, they voted unanimously that 5G network was going to be at the top of the list with the national emergency, so that as soon as power is basically restored, 5G is the next top of the list for priority. And they made sure they mandated federally so that no state, no county, no city can legally override them on this, so they can maintain 5G network throughout the entire country. There's a reason why, and I've been telling you this with 5G, there's a sinister reason behind 5G, and it's not because they want us to have slightly faster download speeds when you're watching your Fire Stick. Quite the contrary. So be aware of what's going on. Stay up to date on what you see going on with your local communities and try to keep people accountable, because when this stuff happens, you know, it's really frustrating to see it. Also, too, in other news, this is frustrating. Last week, I told you guys has been getting pushed. They've been trying to push this to the Supreme Court, and the incident that happened basically at Cali Wood, or individual Cali Wood at the La Plata High School in Maryland, where the 11th grade class, she's a Christian, the 11th grade class, they told the whole class that they were basically having to recite the Muslim prayer, basically that there's no God, blah, 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 I'm not even going to repeat it, and that they went in and they had a slideshow discussing how the Islam faith is a peaceful religion and the Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian, all the stuff they're teaching in class, and they wanted her to recite the Muslim conversion prayer. She said, absolutely not. I'm not going to recite that. I'm a Christian. I'm firm in my beliefs. I'm not going to recite the religious prayer of a fake God who's dead and gone because you want me to do so. And, of course, they gave her an F, big fat F in the class. And so they took it to the Circuit Court of Appeals, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled that the teacher did not violate the Establishment Clause, and she was legally allowed to do so. So then they tried to push it to the Supreme Court. It got on the roster for the Supreme Court, and now, as of this week, the Supreme Court denied to even hear it. So now they're saying, legally in the United States now, that a teacher can force students to recite the Islamic conversion prayer, and if the students don't do so, if the students do not comply and recite the Islamic conversion prayer, they can give them an F in the class. Now, here's the flip side to this. What do you think would be happening right now if they forced Muslims to recite the Lord's Prayer in class and the Muslims refused to do so? Do you think there would not be absolute anarchy among the entire Muslim population, flipping out, pitching a fit, coming completely in court, more than likely probably stabbing and beheading people, because that's what they like to do and they don't get their way, because they were being forced to recite the Lord's Prayer as a Muslim, and they refused to do so and get an F. So flip that around and look at what's really going on, and then you have to ask yourself this question. If we have this separation here of, you know, the school systems and religion and stuff that allegedly was supposed to do so, that's why they took prayer out of schools, and they're coming in now, and they're saying that now the teachers have the legal ability to promote the Muslim agenda, promote Muslim lives, and force you to recite the Muslim conversion prayer. Why in the world are they so bent on doing this? Why are they trying to normalize Islam among these school children? Why are they trying to force them to recite the conversion prayer in the school system? Why are they not at least allowing them to opt out of the class or opt out of that for religious beliefs instead of giving them an F? To me, it appears that the religion of Islam is a much more sinister globalist ideology than I think anybody's giving it credit for. Why do we see the massive Muslim invasion in Europe throughout those Christian countries? Why do we see Sweden continually still allowing unfettered immigration to turn into a complete and total nightmare now in a third world country? I mean, I read an article the other day, last week, they had another 22 firebombings. Now, it's reached over to Denmark, you know, Copenhagen. And now they had another 18 firebombings in Denmark, or in Copenhagen. And they also had another grenade go off at a barber shop. I mean, it's a regular occurrence for grenades and firebombs to be going off now in over there in Sweden. Yet, they don't do anything about it. They've actually tied the hands of law enforcement, told them they can't do anything. Can't arrest these guys, or if they do, they can detain them, they got to let them go. Can't shoot them. I mean, imagine if you're over there and you're law enforcement. You have live ammunition, you have, you know, weaponry that's designed to basically deter anarchy from people from doing violent behavior, and you have individuals that are running around with hand grenades and firebombing cars, and you're told that you're not allowed to engage them. You have to let them do what they're going to do, and then later on you can search for them and try to find them if they don't go into a no-go zone, which I think there's 8 no-go zone cities in Sweden now that law enforcement is not even legitimately allowed to go into because it's complete and total Muslim communities, and they will literally beat and stone and knife law enforcement if they don't go in there with a massive amount of backup with armored personnel carriers and machine guns. So it's easier just to tell law enforcement, don't go in there. You're not allowed to go in there. There's just no-go zones. Don't go in there, period. Why in the world is this happening and nobody wants to address it? And now we have in the United States students being given given a failing grade for not reciting the Muslim conversion prayer in high school, and that the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals rules in favor of the teacher, and then the Supreme Court refuses to even hear it. What do we have going on behind the scenes that's trying to promote Islam so much in the United States and throughout the entire world that ties in to the banker's globalist agenda? That, and that's just really a question that I'm really trying to do some research on.
They're Satanists. I mean, they worship Lucifer. They're Sabbatine Kabbalists. They're Luciferians. They have an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. They hate God. They hate Jesus, and they hate Christians. That's why they're to do this. You know, and the Muslim faith is not a Christian faith, and they'd rather deal with the Muslim faith than they would with the Christian faith, because the Muslim faith doesn't have any power. They're not in covenant with God Almighty. I mean, through the blood of the Lamb, we're in covenant. I explained all that to you before in our shows. Talked a little bit about it last Friday. I mean, when we go into a covenant with God and we become a blood covenant with God, the energy field that is God Almighty through the Holy Spirit comes into our corrupted energy field, which basically has a virus in it, and cleans it up. And Jesus Christ acts like a transformer to transform us through the Holy Spirit to allow us to become one with God. Because we have a God-shaped vacuum in us that can only be filled by God. But God can't fill a vacuum if it's corrupted. If you can't have bad electricity with good electricity, the energy fields don't work. They don't work. They can't. You'll short out. You'll spark out. If you hook up the wrong leg of a 220 to the wrong leg of the 220, it'll spark and blow up. It'll blow your whole doggone box up. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. It's an energy field. And God's an energy field. He permeates everything through his power. It's what he is. He's omnipresent. And so when we accept Christ, it basically, he acts as a, what do you want to call it, a step-up transformer, whatever you want to call it, and changes our energy field and fills us with the Holy Spirit to allow us to complete our circuit with God. That's why human beings are never happy with stuff. You see these Hollywood people, they get these big mansions, and they just basically aren't happy with them. They get fancy cars, and they're not happy with them. They get a 25,000 square foot mansion, they're not happy with it. They get a 50,000 square foot mansion, they're still not happy with it. They get a Lamborghini, they don't like that anymore. They get a Bentley, they don't like that anymore. They get something else, they don't like that anymore. And they're always trying to fill that frequency, that vacuum, that incompatibility with God with stuff. I'm here to tell you, I've got friends who've got big homes. They hate them. They say all they are is a maintenance nightmare. They got to be maintained constantly. And, you know, they say this is ridiculous. I got, you know, Austin a few years ago went to Vegas, and he was talking to one of those guys in one of those fancy car rental places. And so many people get these fancy cars, all they want to do is get rid of them. And they have no idea they're going to take such a bloodletting when they get rid of them to sell them, because they don't want to do the maintenance. I mean, what is that one silly car, that one Volkswagen that's basically that Bugatti? $25,000 for an oil change? You're like, for an oil change? Well, you have to disassemble the entire car underneath to get the oil out. And so people get this stuff and they say, what the heck did I buy this thing for? This is awful. You know, I got a radiator's $100,000. You know, I bumped a curb on it and I got to change that whole carbon panel. It's another $80,000. And you're thinking, what the heck? See, it's the stuff that stuff doesn't make you happy. You guys know that. You buy a new car, you got the little window sticker on the car, you take the window sticker off, you put it in the glove box, you kind of puff up a little bit and drive around the neighborhood, keep the car washed, you wash it every day, it's perfect, got the interior perfect. You know, 2-3 years later, car's sitting out back, covered in dirt, mud, bugs, you know, nobody cares about it anymore, kids eat in it, got food all over the inside of it. It didn't feel anything. It's the relationship with God Almighty that fills us, and Christ allows us to do that through the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said he is one with us. That's why he says that. As I am one, you are one. I am with the Father, you are with me. We all become one through the Holy Spirit, and we have eternal life through that. And that's why it's so important that we understand what being a Christian really is. I mean, look at what's going on here. You got to read this Muslim conversion prayer. How about if we said this in a schoolroom? Okay, everybody's got to read this. Let's do this in our high schools. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into the dead, to the hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting, which is our Apostles' Creed. All H-E double sticks would break loose if some teacher said, you don't recite this to a Muslim child in a classroom,
yep,
and they refuse to do it, or to a Jewish child, and they refuse to do it, and they got an F. They got an F. I'm going to fail you for not reciting this, because you refuse to do the work. What the heck, guys? When we put back, why are there not massive protests? If that was a local school here, I'd be protesting. I'd have a poster out there. I'd be talking. But you know what I've learned a long time ago? In 2008, I was the precinct captain for Ron Paul here in Central Florida, in our county, in our precinct here. And people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear the truth about what Ron Paul stood for. In 2008, this is like 11 years ago now, almost 12. And I sat there and talked until I was sick the next day, because I talked to so many people, lost my voice, didn't have my astragalus, didn't know about astragalus back then, got sick as a dog. And we find out that in our precinct, we had like 5 people vote for Ron Paul, me, my wife, and 2 more that we knew, and 1 more, and that was it. Out of the hundreds, if not thousands, that I talked to that day. Why? Because people don't want to believe the truth. They don't want to believe the truth, because the truth will set them free. They don't want to believe that Ron Paul, what he said about the Federal Reserve Bank and how we have to have honest money. They don't want to believe about any of that stuff. They want to continue to believe the lies, and as long as they got a job and they can make their payments on all their cars and their vehicles, they're good. I mean, look at J.P. Morgan for a second. Why is J.P. Morgan Chase, a member bank of the Federal Reserve Bank, owned by the Rothschilds primarily, always in the middle of a scandalous news? I mean, remember the fake gold they had? Is your bank under a criminal probe for potentially rigging gold and silver markets, which they are? It doesn't help your case to have $50 million in fake gold bars sitting in your vaults. Nonetheless, this is what Reuters reported last week. In the last 3 years, bars worth at least $50 million stamped with Swiss refinery logos but not actually produced by those facilities have been identified by all 4 of the Switzerland's leading gold refiners and found. $50 million it was found in the vaults of J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the major banks at the heart of the market in bullion, and senior executives in gold refineries, banks, and other industry sources. Last month, there was another bizarre story making the wires about J.P. Morgan Chase owning a ship that was raided and found to contain 20 tons of cocaine. There you go. Afghanistan, anybody? 20 tons of Mexico? South America? What do you want to do? Colombia? 20 tons of cocaine. Okay. I mean, well, think about it a second. You know, you already got 3 felony counts going already. Did J.P. Morgan really need to own a ship containing 20 tons of cocaine? And then there was that. And then there was a rash of deaths among its technology workers. Another bizarre one occurring in March of this year. It's nesting doll frauds involving Bernie Madoff. It's gambles with wild derivatives in London using deposits from its federally insured bank. And, you know, and then you have the book that came out about its links to the Gambino crime family by 2 trial lawyers, and so on and so forth. You guys, kind of look at it this way. Some folks might be inclined to think at this point that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, there's a good chance it's not a swan. J.P. Morgan's not a swan, guys. It's a corrupt-to-the-core institution. These are the clowns that naked short the market every single day in the gold and silver markets. They're the ones who hold the prices down. They're the ones who fill their shorts, instead of with gold or silver, which they're supposed to do, they fill it with funny money and basically give people dollars for it so they don't have to supply the gold or the silver. If you actually had to fill those doggone shorts with gold and silver in the market, gold price would be through the roof, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 an ounce. These are the guys who constantly mess with the law with other banks around the world as far as manipulating metal prices. Why are they get away with it? Because they're owned by the Sabbatean, Gabalas, Luciferian, Rothschild banking cartel family who basically feel they can do whatever they want to do and not tell you where your $29 trillion went. Wow. What a bunch of clowns, Austin. What do you think, bud?
No, that's exactly right. It is pretty crazy with J.P. Morgan how much they get away with, and they've continued to get away with, and it's just one thing after another, and it never stops. But also, too, I got a health article here I want to bring up on vitamin D. This is interesting. Researchers from the U.S. found that vitamin D can potentially be used in colorectal cancer treatment. The findings were published in the Journal of JAMA, and it goes on to here. It says, in the study, the researchers wanted to explore how supplementing vitamin D to standard chemotherapy can influence the progression of cancer among people who have metastatic colorectal cancer. For the randomized controlled trial, The team gathered 139 participants who had untreated colorectal cancer. Before the trial began, the researchers noted that only 9% of the participants had the recommended needed amount of vitamin D in their bloodstream. Now, I want to stop that for a second. The 139 participants all had colorectal cancer. When they did blood work on these individuals, only 9% of them had the actual amount of vitamin D in their blood. As far as, I mean, that's what we tell you all the time, getting blood work as far as out of and seeing what your vitamin D levels are. I mean, when you start looking at this and you start realizing how many people are deficient, I mean, 9%, that means on average only 12 to 13 people in that entire group that actually had healthy, normal vitamin D levels in their bloodstream. That's it. 12 to 13 out of 139 people that had colon rectal cancer. Again, this is why I always tell everybody, vitamin D is crucial to keep your levels elevated and also get them checked when you get blood work. I cannot believe how many times people come into the office or they talk to me or they show me blood work or I'm having conversations with them. And that's one of the first questions I would ask them. They go, oh yeah, I got blood work done. I got this. You know, he says my cholesterol's at 205. I'm a little high. He's really concerned about that. And all this other stuff. And I said, okay, what's your D3? What's your D3 coming in? Well, they didn't test that. They didn't test that. So they're so concerned about your total cholesterol being 205, but they didn't dare check your D3 to see where that is. Almost every single time I've talked to somebody, the doctors will not voluntarily check your D3. You have to force them to check it for you and tell them you want it on there. Back to this study now, the 139 participants who had colorectal cancer. The researchers then grouped the participants into a high-dose group and a low-dose group. The former was given vitamin D during treatment, and the latter took standard chemotherapy sessions. This is very interesting. The high-dose group received 8,000 IUs of vitamin D daily for 2 weeks. Afterwards, the researchers lowered the dose to 4,000 IUs per day. Meanwhile, the low-dose group only took 400 IUs every day throughout the entire study. These findings showed that the disease progression decreased among the participants. In the high-dose group, progression stopped for an average of 13 months. In the low-dose group, they experienced a delay in progression that lasted for almost 10 months. Moreover, the researchers discovered that the participants in the high-dose group were much less likely to experience disease progression or death in the follow-up sessions later on over the next 23 months. The researchers concluded that among the patients with colorectal cancer, the addition of the high-dose vitamin D to standard chemotherapy had positive results on the colorectal cancer patients. It resulted in significantly improved hazard ratio, decreasing the risk of progression or death. You can't make this stuff up. Vitamin D is crucial. It's so important, and it's so important that people keep this stuff in your system on a regular basis. And again, I repeat myself, if you don't know what your blood levels are and you haven't had them checked, have them checked when you get blood work. This is why we have the vitamin D3 10,000 with K2. And people go, oh my gosh, that's a high dosage. No, it's not. With the average adult not being outside very often anymore, with inside jobs, and the average adult eating mostly garbage, even if you're eating organic food, the level of nutrients and vitamins you're getting in the current today's food world, even the organic world, is far from optimal whatsoever. This is why we put that formula together to make sure people can maintain a very high dose of D3 on a regular basis, because as you see here, D3 is crucial to fighting off any disease and also staying healthy long term, Dad.
I can't tell you the importance of D. I mean, it's so important that, you know, it blows my mind, Austin, that medical professionals don't test it as soon as you come to the office. I mean, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, you got to realize the entire U.S. healthcare system is hemorrhaging. I mean, it's bleeding close to $1 trillion a year. I just want to get a simple little saliva test for my wife at the doctor's. I picked it up this morning. It's $500. I mean, the test probably costs $3. To do it probably costs $3. They charge $500 for it. I mean, it's crazy. But the Affordable Care Act that Obama put through continues to be anything but affordable. In fact, the healthcare system in the U.S. is in terrible financial shape. A new study has revealed that waste and needless spending in America's healthcare system could amount to almost $1 trillion each year. This exceeds the entire U.S. military expenditures in 2019. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts what's going on with healthcare. And then don't forget this. 66.5% of all bankruptcies in the U.S. are tied to medical issues, either because of high costs of care or time out of work. An estimated 530,000 families have to bankrupt every single year because of medical issues and bills. Over half a million. published earlier this month, the Journal of the American Medical Association, a study found that roughly 20% to 25% of American health care is spending is wasteful spending. I mean, failure of care delivery, $142 billion. Failure of care coordination, $27 billion. Over-treatment or low care value, $75 billion. Pricing failure, $230 billion. Fraud and abuse, $58 billion. Administrative complexity, boy, there's one, $265 billion. I mean, this goes on and on and on, and administrative issues are the largest source of waste. The complexity, which includes the time and resources spent on billing and reporting to insurers and public programs, is the largest waste of time. I know Sharon had to get some tests done in a hospital here last year, or actually beginning of this year, and the bill was ludicrous for one day. And then my doggone health insurance company says, oh, we're not going to pay the bill because, you know, there was nothing wrong with her definitively. She has some issues with her gut. And I said, but there's nothing wrong with her. They're saying this. Then it said it was a pre-existing condition. I said, this is a pre-existing condition? There's nothing wrong with her? I said, are you kidding me? And they ended up finally paying the bill, and I had to threaten them with an attorney. And a lot of health insurers, a lot of these companies, automatically, the first time that they're given a bill, they reject it. They do that. They do that because they want to see how far you're going to push it. And then you get stuck with the bill even though you got insurance. And Obamacare is the worst. It started off, you know, pretty much affordable for a lot of people. Every year the price goes up, price goes up, price goes up. I'm just glad they got rid of that doggone mandated penalty thing. That was awful for people. Guys, instead of dealing with all that, stay healthy, eat clean, take your supplements, have a good lifestyle, exercise. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks again for supporting us. I'll also do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, absolutely, guys. And that's what we try to continue to discuss on a regular basis is preventative aspects, staying healthy, eating clean, exercising, doing things that you know are going to be beneficial for the long run because it's a lot cheaper to stay healthy. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I don't have health insurance still. I don't use any. I've never paid the fine. I opted out of that. Multiple ways you can do it when I did it in the past. Now they don't have any more, which is even more fantastic. But when I've had issues or I've had to go to the hospital, the Celebration Hospital is one that you can negotiate with very well over there, and a lot of times they'll drop you down 75% if you're cash pay. You tell them, like, listen, I can't afford this bill. This is unreasonable. $20,000 bill. That's ridiculous. You know, they'll drop down to $5,000. Well, when I had Humana with Lana when she was pregnant and we had health insurance, my bill for the whole family was like $700 a month. And with like a $5,000 deductible. It was ludicrous. And I said, this is enough. Done. Cancel it all. Again, cancel it all. I'm not getting it. I'm not even going to add an invite on it. If we need it, I'll add something on it, or I may do one of those health share plans. But for the time being, until I can actually look at this and find out something that's reasonable and somebody that actually works with you, this whole plan is a complete and total scam. Insurance, the health insurance industry has literally taken hold of the medical industrial complex, and they're one and the same now. Complete and total sham in the United States, and it's sad. But make your own decisions of that, not giving you any advice. Thank you again for the support. Appreciate everything you guys do for us. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the encouraging emails. Those are nice, too, when we get those. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Be sure to check out the website, the product of the week. I said earlier, the joint rebuilding formula on sale for over 20% off. And we have the Maximum Energy Kit on sale. This is one of our basic staple supplements, but it's a really, really good product that keeps you energetic and in really good shape here at the website at healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.